Welcome to Core Christianity. I'm Bill Meyer with Pastor Adriel Sanchez, and this is the radio program where we answer your questions about the Bible and the Christian life every day. You can call us right now with your question at 833-THE-CORE. That's 1-833-843-2673. And of course, you can always email us with your questions at questions@corechristianity.com. Well, today is a very special day here at Core Christianity. Believe it or not, it is our 500th episode of this program. Adriel, can you believe that you have done 500 radio shows?
I honestly can't believe it, Bill. I mean, it's been pretty wild, and it's gone by so quickly. This has been 2 years, and here we are.
I'm just curious, how many questions do you think that you have responded to in the past 2 years?
I think we're coming up on 3 million. So it's pretty, we've covered just about everything. No, I mean, honestly, I think we're somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000 questions, which just shocks me. Like, I can't even begin to fathom, like, a lot of work has gone into this, and it's been neat to see. And a lot of the questions, of course, you know, there's some overlap, but each one is really distinct and unique. And so it's been a lot of fun to answer these questions over the last 2 years.
Well, we have a very special guest joining us for our 500th episode, author, theologian, and all-around good guy, Michael Horton. Welcome, Mike.
Thank you, Bill. You know, I appreciate that introduction more than you realize, and it's better than it is true. But it's such a privilege. You can't keep me from popping in and sitting in with you guys. It's such a pleasure to talk to folks. I mean, these aren't just questions. These are people. Every question has a face, and that's why each question is different, even if, as you say, Adriel, they overlap. A lot of the questions do overlap, but each coming from a different experience. And that's what makes, I think, this call-in program so unique.
Now, your book, Core Christianity, was actually a huge catalyst for this radio program starting up. What made you want to write that book, Mike?
Well, you know, it's one thing to teach systematic theology to seminary students, and I have done that. I've written systematic theology, and then a kind of middle systematic theology. This is really breaking it out into what every Christian ought to know. It's really what all of us as Christians affirm. And how do you explain that to a new Christian or a lot of Christians who are biblically and theologically hungry? They just don't know. I hope they read this book and really see a wide invitation to understanding who God is, what he's done for us in Jesus Christ, who we are, why we need the Lord Jesus Christ. Is he the only way? How do we know that? Knowing what we believe and why we believe it, that's why I thought I needed to write that book.
Well, it's a wonderful book, and I would highly recommend it to all of our listeners. And we're going to mention an offer we have for you in just a second. But I want to ask you, Adriel, as a pastor who is in the trenches, are you feeling like there is a real dearth of biblical and theological knowledge among the average person in the pews?
Definitely. And I think there's been a lot of research that's been done over the last few years that has highlighted that. I mean, there are some studies that showed that Mormons know their Bibles better than evangelicals, better than Christians. I mean, that's just shocking. And part of the thing is wanting people to have a deeper understanding of what the scriptures teach, so that they might know the God of the scriptures. You know, sometimes we pit the head and the heart against each other. I want to know Jesus. I don't want to know about Jesus. And so one of the goals we've had here at Core Christianity is to help you actually know about Jesus so that you can know him. And the way we're going to do that is by digging into the Word of God together. And it's a joy to do it.
Well, today we are offering Mike's book, Core Christianity, for a donation of any amount. And again, this would just be a fantastic book to have on your bookshelf. All you have to do is go to corechristianity.com/offers, or give us a call at 833-THE-CORE. All right, Mike and Adriel, let's get to our very first question of the day.
Hi, this is Erin calling from Philadelphia. I just noticed that you guys are coming up on 500 episodes, and I wanted to say congratulations. But it got me thinking, and all of the questions you've been asked, what would you say is at the core of the answers you give us? What's the heart of your show? Thanks so much for taking my question. Have a great day, guys. Bye.
Yeah, thank you for that question, Erin. You know, one of the things that it took me a long time to realize as a student of the Bible early on in my Christian walk was that all of Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, is pointing us to Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that unity of Scripture, fixing our eyes on Jesus Christ, I mean, it's what He does when He talks about the Bible. I think about Him with a couple of His disciples in Luke 24 on the road to Emmaus, opening up the Scriptures for them and revealing to them everything that spoke of Him. And that's what we want to do. We want to open up the Scriptures together to point people to Jesus and to Him crucified.
Yeah, I think not only is that our quote-unquote answer for so many of the questions, but so many of the questions lead to that.
Mm-hmm.
Adriel, you and I have talked about this, how many of the questions, and we're not, you know, seeding this. This is just, you folks are calling in and asking these questions. This is what's on your heart. What we hear again and again, we've commented on it repeatedly to each other, is how can I know that I'm saved? Mm-hmm. How can I know that I belong to God the Father in Jesus Christ? How can I have all these anxieties, I have all these fears, I have all these sins. Is this too good to be true, that it's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone? We get that so often, don't we, Adriel, in the questions over these past 500 episodes?
Yeah, we really do. I mean, when people ask me, what are the questions, or what is the question that you get asked more than anything else? And it really just has to do with that, with assurance of salvation. Mm-hmm. And I think part of the issue is, and Bill, this gets at what you asked me earlier in terms of, you know, is there this dearth of theological knowledge? Well, part of the issue is people are oftentimes in their churches being pointed to themselves, what they're doing, and not being pointed to Jesus Christ and His work. And so, gosh, I mean, what we feel privileged to be able to do is over and over and over again, through the Scriptures, pointing people to Jesus and what He's done. And that's where we're going to find comfort, especially when we're wrestling with some of those real practical, you know, am I saved? I still struggle mm-hmm. with sin every day. How can I know that I'm a believer? Well, we look to Jesus. We look to the objective promise of the gospel. And Aaron, you know, going back to your question, just the heart of this program, I know for myself, for Bill, for Mike, we want God to be glorified. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. We want to magnify Him, and we want people to set their eyes on Him so that they might be transformed by Christ. That's what we want. That's what we pray for.
Absolutely.
This is Core Christianity with Adriel Sanchez and our special guest, Dr. Michael Horton. And of course, you can email us with your question if you have one at questions@corechristianity.com. As we mentioned, this is the 500th episode of this program. We can hardly believe it. Mike and Adriel did this show for about a year and a half together, and then I joined the program. I'm curious, guys, what was it like in the early days of putting this show together?
Well, a roller coaster for sure. I mean, there were times where it felt like, you know, you were being drowned or something like that. At least for me, it was actually pretty funny. So initially, when this whole idea was pitched to me by the president of our organization, Mark Green, I mean, it was just this great idea. Like, how can we get sound theology, doctrine, into the hearts of a broader audience? I mean, we want people to know Jesus. I thought this was just a phenomenal thing. Let's answer questions about the Bible. Well, I had never done radio before, so we went.
Boy, was that ever true?
But yeah, I know. Yeah, we did a test run, and some friends of ours, some broadcasting professionals who had done it, you know, for years and years and years, they were kind of. I mean, it was a trial by fire. So I think that first day of auditioning,
they killed us.
Oh yeah,
they absolutely slaughtered us.
Yeah.
You know, are you sure you want to do broadcasting?
Oh, God.
Oh, man. It was.
And, you know, I've been doing radio for 30 years, but I had no idea how different this was from that, because it's much more intimate, personal, talking to individuals who right then and there are teetering, in some cases, on real serious anxieties and difficulties, challenges, or excitement. And you're really dealing with people one-on-one in a fantastic way. But that was a real challenge for me. And I know that Adriel and I grew a lot during that experience from these professionals.
I know that somewhere there's a recording of those initial auditions or whatever. And I hope that that recording gets destroyed. So,
oh yeah, absolutely. It got better.
Yeah. Over time it got better. It did make me think though, I will say this, Bill, after that day, I remember thinking, Lord, if this works, it's going to be all you because it certainly isn't our radio talent or anything like that. I mean, this is going to be, this has to be a work of your spirit if it's going to work. And so God has been super gracious to us over the last 2 years.
Well, guys, I have to say, in addition to your theological knowledge and expertise, your hearts really do come through in your answers and the way that you just reach out and love and care to those listeners who write in or call in. And so we appreciate that so much. Well, let's get to a question that came in from Beatrix. She emailed us and she says, I've been a lifelong Christian and I believe that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I know that he sustains me, but there's one place in my life right now that I'm fighting, loneliness. I have a loving and close relationship with my parents and a few dear friends, but I find it difficult to form new friendships. I get along with most people I talk to, and many consider me amiable, but I wish I was invested in as much as I invest in others. I've asked God to give me the strength and sustain my relationship with Him, but I'm just tired. How can I seek solace in my loneliness?
Yeah. Well, Beatrix, I know what you're talking about. I felt depths of loneliness before, and I have family members, one of my teenage children. It's really interesting when you see how different personalities play into this. You know, you could be very amiable, very personable, and just not be in the right context or circumstances. I mean, one idea is to, you know, be part of the church. Psalm 68:6 says, God sets the lonely in a family. And he certainly does that in your case with your parents. You say you have a close relationship with your parents, but he also does that in the church. It's just human, even for Christians, to form close groups. But when you form close groups, sometimes it's hard for new people to get in. And I've found what you have to do is just go tug on somebody's shirt tail and say, hey, I'd like to be a part of this Bible study or this fellowship group or whatever. And maybe an informal group of friends who get together and they just talk. Smaller is better, 3 or 4 friends, rather than a larger group, because you can really form close friendships and relationships that way. But at the end of the day, Beatrix, Psalm 90 tells us God is our dwelling place. He has been the dwelling place for all generations for his people. There's a reason why home, family, friendships on earth are but a mirror of a greater family, a greater home that we have in Christ. And we're not going to have it here. We're going to always be disappointed with friendships. We're always going to be disappointed in the communities that we belong to. We'll always have disappointment with the church we belong to. But it reminds us that this is, in all of its finitude, a foretaste of the real home, the great and true family that we belong to, that one day will enjoy complete and perfect unity and fellowship. So I would say, lower your expectations, maybe, Beatrix, about what friendships can provide for you, knowing that the real friendship that is behind all human friendships of any value is our friendship with God. And that's why Paul says in Romans 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who delivered up his own son for us, will he not give us everything else? For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor principalities nor powers, insert loneliness, will ever be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus.
Mm. Thanks for that, Mike. And Beatrix, thank you so much for your question. We'll be praying for you to find some good community and some good friendships. You're listening to Core Christianity. It's our 500th episode, and we have a special offer for you. The book that started this program, Core Christianity, was written by Dr. Michael Horton. And if you contact us and make a donation of any amount, we would love to send you a copy of that wonderful book. You can just go to corechristianity.com/offers to find out more. Now, guys, speaking of friendships, which was the topic of Beatrix's question, what about you? You've spent a lot of time together in the studio. How did your friendship start off?
Oh, man, with a lot of tension. First of all, I kept calling him Ariel, you know, the angel, until I think the second year.
No, that's actually the Little Mermaid, Mike.
The second year of his studies, I think I finally got it because he's too humble to correct me. You know, I have the immense privilege to teach men and women for the Lord's service, and you wouldn't believe the folks that I'm able to get to know. It is deeply humbling. But some stick out especially, and Adriel was one of them. I knew that he had a heart for the gospel. I knew he had God-given affability, love of people, common sense, you know, chill, as my kids would say. But more than that, I watched him really grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ really quickly, and his hunger, not just for the Word of God, but for the God of the Word and for the people of God. He studies hard. He mastered the material. He did really well in the classes. I just thought, here's a guy who now he's a pastor and seems like a seasoned veteran, even though he's been in the ministry for several years now. And thought, wow, wouldn't it be great to have someone who is in the trenches, preparing each Lord's Day, a feast in the kitchen for the Lord's people, dealing with people and counseling and caring for folks one-on-one. Wouldn't it be great to have someone who knows the scriptures backwards and forwards, is able to answer people's questions from God's word, and yet is so close to the life of the church and his people each Sunday?
Hey, man, Mike, that's...
But we couldn't find that guy.
Yeah, that's right.
So eventually Adriel rolled around. Yeah. And
man.
It's honestly, it's been such a joy for me as a pastor to be able to do this, to work together with you guys. And since Mike said all that, I mean, I'll just say one of the things that's been, frankly, just a huge blessing for me. And I think as a young guy, you know, wanting to serve the Lord, wanting to minister, being able to look up to guys like Mike, who I feel like are brilliant and yet just totally chill as well and humble. And I think that that's so important. So I feel like God has really used our relationship, our friendship to bless me and to help me be a better pastor even. And so I'm grateful for that. And it's been cool. And I remember back after, you know, early on finishing seminary and having Mike and his family over for dinner, right when we had first planted our church, and just him being so kind and coming over. And I remember thinking like, oh man, he's going to see my bookshelves and he's probably going to be really impressed by all the books that I have. But he didn't even really look at them. So it was pretty funny. And no, it was just been really cool. It's been a sweet journey, Bill. And I'm excited to see where the Lord continues to take all of this.
Yeah. You know, also, I felt like this is a program that really is so needed and so important to get God's truths to the people who need to hear them. We have to do that in the best way possible, in the most accessible way possible. And I was needed for other things that our organization is doing right now. So I moved over to those tasks, and also with my teaching, the seminary and writing and other things. And right at that time, Bill, you, a gift of God, veteran in this work, you worked side by side with James Dobson with Focus on the Family, PhD in psychology yourself. You really bring a lot of important background and experience in people's everyday living that I think is so important. And so you and Adriel, I think, make a perfect combination for reaching that that wider audience.
Well, thank you, Mike. I appreciate it so much. It's been a real blessing working with Adriel on a day-to-day basis. And it's interesting, my family right now during this time of COVID, as you know, most church services are online, and we decided to start watching Adriel's sermons each Sunday with our kids. Mm. And that has led to some great discussions. In fact, his series on Galatians, we have just benefited so much from that. The kids really are resonating with what he's having to say. So that's been a real kind of an extra blessing on this whole thing. So,
yeah.
This is Core Christianity with Pastor Adriel Sanchez and Michael Horton. And let's get to another question that came in. This one is from Sophie, who posted on our website at corechristianity.com. She says, is there a biblical basis for preferring that heads be bowed and eyes closed when praying? In corporate prayer, when asked, let us bow our heads in prayer, is it disrespectful to instead raise one's face heavenward, which is how I like to pray? Mm. I wonder about this every time, and then it's a distraction to me.
Yeah, that's a really good question. We oftentimes don't really think about those postures of prayer that you see throughout the Bible. I mean, you have people bowing or kneeling or standing in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and even in the ancient church, standing was the primary posture of prayer, this position of readiness, sort of lifting our hands to the Lord. You see that in the New Testament, you know, Paul talking about men lifting their hands and giving thanks. And so you have these different postures. What's so interesting, though, is the key is the heart. When we offer prayer to the Lord, are we praying sincerely and with faith? And oftentimes in the Bible, God would rebuke his people for lifting their hands, but not their hearts. I think of Isaiah chapter 1, verse 15, where God said, when you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause. See, there's this problem in worship and even in prayer, or we can focus primarily on just the externals. It's what Jesus warned in Matthew chapter 6 when he said, don't pray like the hypocrites. You know, they love to be seen by men and women praying there on the street corners and, you know, oh, with those eloquent prayers. But their focus isn't on the Lord. It's on what other people think. It's this artificial form of worship, if you will. Now, that doesn't mean that these postures, you know, bowing our heads, closing our eyes, those kinds of things, that there's anything wrong with them. I think that we're trying to be reverent before the Lord when we come before him. And sometimes these postures can help with that. But I don't think that there's anything technically wrong with you raising your hands or your eyes when you pray, that kind of a thing. The real question you need to ask yourself is, am I focusing on the Lord? Am I praying by faith through Jesus Christ to the Father? We can come boldly before God's throne of grace because of what Jesus has done for us. And I think that that's the key when we think about prayer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd only add, at least in corporate worship, we're gathered there as the Lord's congregation, not just as individuals having a private experience with the Lord together. So whether, you know, we're all lifting our eyes to heaven or bowing our heads, to not sort of have scruples about following along what everybody else is doing. But certainly in your own prayer time, I do this myself. I will just lift my eyes to heaven.
Yeah. Well, and it can be an aid just to, like you said there, Mike, lift our eyes and keep them open. I find that sometimes when I close my eyes to pray, I end up falling asleep. And so I have to be very careful.
So, this is Core Christianity with Pastor Adriel Sanchez and theologian Dr. Michael Horton. And we're about out of time for today, but we want to thank you so much for celebrating with us our 500th episode of this program. So thankful for all of our listeners and for the many ways that you actually support this program through your listening and your financial gifts. A big thank you to Dr. Michael Horton for writing the book that started it all, Core Christianity. Once again, we have that available for you for a gift of any amount if you contact us at our website, corechristianity.com/offers. And of course, we know we could not have done it without the provision of our gracious Heavenly Father, And we praise him for his goodness to us over the years. And we're praying for his continued blessing as we look forward to the future. And Lord willing, another 500 episodes of Core Christianity.
Thanks for listening to Core Christianity. To request your copy of today's special offer, visit us at corechristianity.com and click on Offers in the menu bar or call us at 1-833-843-2673. That's 833-THE-CORE. When you contact us, please let us know how you've been encouraged by this podcast. And be sure to join us next time as we explore the truth of God's Word together.